We'd like to say good morning to those of you here this morning. We'd like to begin our chapel this morning quoting of a speech, I Have a Dream, from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Begins, I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even in the state of Mississippi, a state squelching with the heat of injustice, squelching with the heat of oppression, will transform into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be able, I have a dream that one day my four little children will live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day in Alabama, with this vicious racist, with this governor having the lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out the mountain of despair, a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Thank you.
The name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is inextricably intertwined with great landmarks of the civil rights movement: Montgomery, Birmingham, the First March on Washington, and Selma. Dr. King was a dedicated and selfless leader and an eloquent advocate of nonviolence, despite the inequality, hardships, and violence faced daily by him and his people. His efforts in nonviolence awarded him the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. At the time of his death, Dr. King was co-pastor with his father of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and president and one of the founders of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Born in Atlanta on January 15, 1929, he later obtained various degrees from Morehouse College, Crozer Theological Seminary, and Boston University. He also studied at the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard University, and was awarded more than 200 honorary degrees by colleges and universities in the U.S. and abroad. On April 4, 1968, Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. During his lifetime, Dr. King spoke of a dream that in many ways has become a reality in our society today. This morning we have gathered to celebrate and to acknowledge that life and that dream. We encourage you today to be perpetuators of the dream. Instill the dream of racial equality, nonviolence, and the love of Jesus Christ in your children and in your children's children. Don't let the dream die. Welcome to this chapel.
Continuing this chapel this morning, I'd like to open in prayer. I'll continue in prayer. Oh Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we had to come before you today. We thank you for the dream of which Dr. King spoke so many years ago. Help us, Lord, to perpetrate this dream. Help us to not in any way hold back your will. We ask you, Lord, for social peace, political peace, not only here in the U.S., but also in every country of this world. We ask you to be with every one of us as we continue your work. In thy name I pray, amen. Before our speaker comes to us this morning, we have a message and song by John Jankovich, accompanied by Emily Hickson. His love is reaching.
Thank you. Where should I begin to tell my thoughts? What can I say that will do? And where are the words when I need them most to show my gratitude? Through the years I was burdened, yet I didn't fall. Through the times I was certain there was nothing at all. His love was reaching, an invisible hand pulling me through. His love was reaching, touching my life in more ways than I ever knew. As I lay beneath the Southern Cross, the stars tell more than I could. And if my words don't say what I really mean, I pray I'm understood. When I thought I had nothing, yet I had so much. Through the times of a certain Lord, we were out of touch. Your love was reaching, an invisible hand pulling me through. Your love was reaching, touching my life in more ways than I ever knew. How could I think I was living alone? How can a man be so blind? And how can I've come this far without God?
Fine song. We, the members of the African American Culture Exchange, we believe in the dream that Dr. King preached. We believe in a dream that he left behind for us to live. And we trust that those of you who are here today will continue to live on that dream, live out that dream with us, that we may one day live in a land where we are equal and everybody is treated as one. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We are fortunate to have in our midst today a man who is on fire for the Lord, one who, no doubt about it in my mind, has been with the Lord and has a powerful testimony. He is the associate minister of the First Calvary Baptist Church in Buffalo, New York, and we are very fortunate to have him as our guest speaker today. Would you please join me in welcoming the Reverend Robert Stanley.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. Consequently, God sends periodically visionaries, men to encourage the populace to hope, men who dream, but who dare to make their dreams come true. Such a man we commemorate with these brief sayings. But yet, this man said of himself, if there's anything to remember, don't tell him that I have over 100 degrees and awards. Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that I am the winner of the Nobel Prize for Peace. Don't tell them that. If you tell them anything, tell them that I'm a drum major for God. If you tell them anything, that I'm a drum major for righteousness. If you tell them anything, tell them that I tried to live my life serving others. Such a man we're talking about today. But the man is only extended as far as what he done. The question then I pose to all of you about what you do, and to explore that particular perspective, I would like to refer you to the following scripture. And that is, I would like to direct your attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, to chapter 9 and verse 10, which reads as follows. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, or according to some renderings, the grave to which you are going. And just for a subject, for a theme, for a motif, if you will, I would like for us to dwell on this thought, which is a question. And this question is, what are you going to do with your hands? What are you going to do with your hands? Fascinatingly, the book of Ecclesiastes stemmed from a linguistic change that marched through the quarters of time. We find presently that the term is derived from a Hebrew term called Koheleth. And those who evaluate scripture critically have ascertained that the ending denotes that we are talking about a position rather than a man, and literally defined computes out to be the caller of the assembly. Make no qualms about it now that the New Testament Ecclesiastes means the assemble of those baptized believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, it bespeaks of a question of authorship, in all probabilities because of the first chapter in verse 12, where the writer says, I once was king. And again, those theologians have ascertained that Solomon, who was king of Israel for 40 years, died a despotic king. Be that as it may, for this and these promptings, let's concede the fact that we're talking about a Solomonic writing. The writer carries a central theme that he tries to evaluate in a quest to come to grips with the key to the meaning of life. And the answer comes back to him that only through God can we find any meaning or purpose. And that each and every one of us must take day by day whatever we acquire from God's hand. Oh, when I noticed this verse and my eyes came to the H that spelled out hands, I immediately thought, why not heads or hearts? You see, the head contains the cognitive factors of the knowledge, where we can acquire the wisdom, that ability to use that knowledge wisely. But the writer said hands. Oh, I thought that the head, it contains the mouth, and with the mouth one can profess Jesus Christ. And then with the heart, he can believe unto salvation. But the writer said hands. Oh, I'm aware of the fact that hands build beautiful buildings, edifices, and architectural structure. But the writer said hands. Oh, I'm aware of the fact that hands build houses, but it takes hearts to make homes. But the writer said hands. Oh, I wonder if you are aware of the fact that hands are used for eyes for the blind. Hands is used for a mouth for the dumb. Hands are used for ears for the deaf. I pose this question to each and every one of you. What are you going to do with your hands? Oh, hands I'll use to be lifted up in prayer. Hands are extended with workers. Hands are held in courtship. In matrimony, I asked you, what are you going to do with your hands? Oh, your hands can be used to throw rocks in disdain at a passing world and then hide behind your back as if nothing really happened. Hands can be used to stick in your pocket and claim that there's no work to be done. Hands can be used to beat back enemies and never offer a hand to help. Hands possess all of the fingers which we stand by and point at one another in condemnation. But I ask you today, remember, every time you point a finger at me, four is pointing at you. I ask you again, what are you going to do with your hands? Hands drives the ships of life. I'm talking about penmanship, workmanship, communionship, fellowship. Oh, I want you to hear me now. What are you going to do with your hands? Oh, I remember one time that one, like all of the rest that came down through the corridors of time, picked up with his hands a cross and marched to Calvary. You remember Golgotha's sight? And then there he was stretched wide and nails was hammered into his hands and his feet. And there he was dropped low and hung high and looked up and said, "Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit." Oh, I asked you right at this point again, what are you going to do with your hands? And then he bowed his head into the hollows of his shoulder and died, and then hands took him down. Hands laid him in a borrowed tomb. Hands rolled the stone across the door. Oh, I asked you again and again, what are you going to do with your hands? Oh, you see, that all day Saturday with silence and seemingly we might appear that those adversaries of life's way, of God's way, of righteousness claim the victory. But I heard from on high that early Sunday morning he rose, put one foot on time and the other on eternity, and rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. I asked you again today, what are you going to do with your hands? Keep in mind. Think about it. Carry it with you every time you have the power, the authority to help, to assist. Remember that question. What are you going to do with your hands? We live in trying times, and there's an awe foreboding racism in our country, in our cities, and unfortunately right here in Houghton College. Oh, I asked you, what are you going to do with your hands? Remembering that anytime you don't use your hands to affect a peaceful and amicable kind of solution, you then become a part of the problem. I asked you, I implore you, I beg you to consider the question, what are you going to do with your hands? Thank you.
Amen. We thank the Reverend Robert Stanley for those encouraging words. At this time, I'm going to ask if you will all stand and join me in a closing prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and everlasting God, our Father, the boss man of the world, the author and the finisher of our faith, we come to you once again, Lord God, on this another glorious day that you have made. We come, Father God, with thanksgiving and prayer in our hearts, recognizing, Father God, that you're God and all God all by yourself. You're one that sitteth high and you looketh low. You're God that know the needs in the hearts of mankind and able, Father God, to supply our needs individually and collectively. We come right now thanking you, Father God, for your spirit as it moved across the altar of our heart this morning. We thank you for the one who has come, Father God, to proclaim your word. We thank you, Father God, for the message that thou hast sent. And we ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ that thou will let us apply these words to our hearts and to our minds, that when we leave from behind these four consecrated walls, that
we may take the message of Jesus into this mean and unfriendly world, binding our hands, working, Father God, to uplift the kingdom of God, that when we go through this mean and unfriendly world, that the world may not see mankind, but yet Jesus Christ will come forth in our lives, that we may continue to live out that dream, not the dream that Dr. King lived, but the dream that Jesus Christ has professed in our lives. Teach us, Father God, to tell our dying world, come see a man who's able to make broken hearts heal, who's able to make lame men walk, who's able to make dumb men talk, who's able to make those who hate love, to be able to make a prejudiced world love one another in the midst of confusion. Teach us, Father God, how to ever walk in your path, in your truth, knowing one day that we shall overcome and obtain the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father God, when we, like many, come down to the end of our journeys, and when this world cannot afford a home for us any longer, meet us somewhere, Lord, on the other side, where we will live in a land where there'll be no more hatred, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, but a land of joy, a place of happiness, and a place of peace. And if we can hear you saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant, we'll know our living was not in vain, but we will have obtained the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, and for his name's sake we pray. Amen. Thank God. You are dismissed.
How are you?
It was good to hear it again.
This is the only professor I know I was hoping to do. Listen.